Welcome, welcome to PS I Love Me, the podcast. I am your host, Gina Swire, international self-love expert, coach, author, and manifesting queen. And I am on a mission to help a billion women fall madly in love with themselves and get everything they want in their life. And that, my friend, includes you. This podcast is for down-to-earth women who love spirituality, manifesting, and laughing at life's challenges. And remember, with self-love, anything is possible. All right, so today I have the amazing Natalie Lee. So I asked my community who they would love to see on PS I Love Me, and numerous, countless people said that they've been following Natalie, and I actually wasn't. So I've been following you ever since. I've been loving all of your stuff and all the many topics that you cover and the body confidence and just your vibe and energy. So I'm super excited to have you on today. Natalie, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Well, yeah, this is exciting. I've started following you fairly recently too, but I'm already in love. So it's going to be a whole love fest.
Love fest. I already feel the love fest because this morning I realized I had some ceremonial cacao in the fridge left over from something. So I mixed it into my porridge this morning. So I've been absolutely buzzing, feeling very heart opened today. So it's the perfect timing, I think. Oh,
that's lovely. I love that. I've actually recently started doing a heart opening meditation, which is beautiful, so wonderful. And yeah, anything that opens up the heart is just wonderful. I love it.
Yeah. What's in your heart opening meditation?
So I found it on YouTube, actually, and it is this woman called Psalm. I think that's how you say it. And she guides you through this meditation, and she gets you to imagine like your worst. Is it the worst experience or the person who is most problematic in your life? Something like that.
Yeah.
Gets you to imagine that. And then gets you to like place your hand on your heart and just basically guides you in forgiveness. And it's very, very powerful. The first time I did it, I burst into tears but it felt like such a beautiful release. It was not horrible tears. It was good tears. It was very, very powerful. So, anything that opens the heart, I'm here for.
Me too. Beautiful. I'll have to have a go with that.
Yeah, I'll send you the link.
Pretty much in any workshop I do, any retreat, any book, I've only got one, but you know, any book that I write, there it is. Oh my gosh, so honored to have it in your hand. Anytime I do pretty much anything, I always start with forgiveness for everyone because it's so powerful. And honestly, until I started doing anything to do with self-love, I didn't have any concept of that. I didn't understand it. I didn't think I had anyone to forgive. And then when I started diving into it, for about a year, that was my daily practice. I was like, well, what else is there to forgive today? So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think forgiveness is a huge one in order to be able to move forward and really be able to appreciate, be in the moment. You need to forgive things of the past. But I think probably the most difficult form of forgiveness is self-forgiveness. You know, we hold a lot of stuff in us that, you know, we often wish that we hadn't done. We haven't always been great people and haven't always acted as best as we possibly could have, maybe. And it's really hard sometimes to forgive yourself for those things. I talk a lot about shame and releasing the shame. And that is all to do with forgiveness too, forgiving myself. And the more I talk about things, the more I don't have to, you know, feel like I've got to hide away and be embarrassed about it, ashamed about it. And I can actually start to heal experiences that maybe I was, you know, partly to blame in.
Yeah. Yeah. And shame. It's an interesting one, because I was in this group coaching course thing many years ago, and the topic was shame. And I was like, I didn't really like get it. I didn't feel like I had any shame. And I was like, everyone seems to have shame, but I don't really feel like I have got any. And actually it was more that I wasn't able to connect with it because I'd buried it so much. And so I think, like you, because I can tell from reading all of your many posts, I can tell by the way you share that it comes from this like healing, beautiful place. It's like cathartic to share, isn't it?
Yeah. My Instagram is sometimes a bit like a journal, and yeah. I work through my feelings via my posts. But I do always say, you know, I'm quite careful now from what I've learned through using social media for quite a long time. I'm quite careful not to just blurt out everything I'm feeling in the moment. And I need to process them separately before I can then process it again on social media. Mm-hmm. Because it's not, you know, I want my posts to be helpful to other people. I want them to gain something from it. And if I'm just like verbal diarrhea and just, you know, saying exactly how I'm feeling in that moment, it's not necessarily from a reflective or from a positive place. So I now take a bit of a breath before I post it on social media, which is something I've learned over the years, thank God.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I actually did. I've been also using social media for quite a few years, but more just recently I've been going through a shit show and all different things happening, breakups, and I had COVID, and just a lot of like my whole life changed direction, and it's kind of all piecing back together in a new beautiful way, but it's just been hard. And then throw in a moon cycle with that, and I was just like, bah! One day I was like, fuck the world, fuck, I just feel like fuck everything, what is the fucking point? Just absolutely went off on one. And I very rarely do that, but it just felt so cathartic. But actually the backlash is because that triggers people, and it isn't actually always helpful. And it triggered, and then people are all really worried about me, but I was fine, I was loving it. And then the next, you know, a few hours later, I was through it and I was so serene, and I was doing like a womb meditation, and I was just like loving life. And it just really passed through me. But because I shared that in the moment, it didn't have the desired effect.
Yeah, it doesn't. And, you know, but we all do it. You know, we're only human. You know, we fuck up and mess up occasionally. That's okay. And sometimes you say things you know, probably best not to say. I do it all the time. But yeah, I think you just kind of get a bit better at being a bit more selective, I think, about what, because you then know and understand the ramifications of what you're saying online a bit more, because you're not just speaking to your family and your friends anymore. And that's a real big learning curve, realizing that there's thousands of people who don't know you, who can't read tone, who don't understand that was 10 minutes ago. 10 minutes later, I'm absolutely fine. You know, there's such a, it's difficult. It is difficult to navigate, but yeah, we find a way through.
We do. And that's the thing with self-love. Like, we can fuck it up and then still be fine.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's never going to be linear. It's never going to be like just one direction. You're going to go through moments of complete denial, hatred and self-loathing, you know. But then I always find I feel like I'm either surviving or thriving. I don't feel like there's any middle ground with me. So I'm either a fucking queen who is killing it, or I'm literally have got my head just above the water and cannot cope with the most mundane daily tasks. That's my two states, and that's the only two states you're going to get with me.
I hear you. I feel quite similar, actually.
Now you say that.
Yeah. Like my general, I have so much joy and so much trust and gratitude, and I really do live at like a high vibration. That's my norm. So when I do drop off, I can drop off a cliff and just hit the floor. But one of the things I'm noticing is that occasionally when it does happen, it can feel it, because I've been reading Existential Kink. Have you read that book?
No.
Oh, it's good. Oh, it is good. And it's basically about, write that one down. I have no idea how to spell it. Existential. Anyway, it's all about finding the pleasure in the pain. So, you know, thinking of the kink and the pleasure pain thing. But when you are in the most pain or grief or misery or heartbreak, whatever it is, or if something really pisses you off and triggers you and your heart's beating like crazy because you're so angry, when you actually tune in, it is a little bit like orgasm. The sensations are quite, there's a fine line between the two sensations. So it's like, it's alchemizing that into actual kind of pleasure. And also finding the kinky, weird eroticism of the misery and being like, you know, we as humans actually, we seek this whole full spectrum of emotions. Otherwise, if we didn't, we'd all be just good, great, happy, joyful, whatever. But, you know, it's almost like we might get into that relationship to absolutely face plant. I've just done one of those recently. And it's like, you know, we seek it out. When things are so great, we do actually seek out something to make ourselves do something kinky. So,
well, I think life would be really fucking boring if we were just happy and constant the whole time. It's just not like that. It's just so up and down. And what I've accepted now is that I'm a highly sensitive, highly emotional person. And I have spent years pretending that I'm not and not acknowledging that I am. But what I've been doing is, because I'm so sensitive and so emotional, those feelings have often scared me. So I have tried to push them down as much as possible, not acknowledge them. I find it very, very difficult to sit with uncomfortable feelings. So my MO has always been to like just not acknowledge them, pretend they're not there. Like, I'm fine. No, I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely fine. Like, but I'm really not fine. And then it comes out in other ways. And then you do, you know, really self-destructive kind of things, you know, like drinking and going out and, you know, things that probably only make you a lot worse a little further down the line, and really affect your mental health. So one of the big, massive lessons that I have been coming to through the help of therapy, I'm a very, very big fan of therapy, is learning to sit with these uncomfortable emotions and not run away from them because they scare the fucking hell out of me. Mm-hmm. That has been difficult, but I can see where you're coming from. Like, there is a certain kind of pleasure that comes from really painful emotion. It's kind of painfully delicious in a way. Like that complete and utter misery is very, I don't know, it's like a movie scene, isn't it? It's like I'm going to fucking be the most dramatic and ugly and dirty and disgusting I can absolutely be. Because there is a kind of beauty in that painfulness and disgustingness. I think also being addicted to those highs and lows, I've learned. I've recently been diagnosed ADHD, and that is a very common thing with people who are ADHD. You lack dopamine, and then that affects the serotonin. Because you lack those hormones, they're not as strong in you, you seek those things that make it more plentiful, like the big massive bust ups and the like exhilarating highs of like going on a roller coaster, that sort of thing. So I'm just gonna blame my volatility or my emotional instability on my ADHD, because it's basically to blame for everything that's bad. No, I'm joking. But it is definitely enlightening. Like getting that diagnosis has made me discover a lot of things about myself that are part of my personality, but also part of the ADHD.
I love your playfulness with these things. It's so fun. So I'm curious, what are some of your favorite ways to push down, as you said, or hide, or kind of like ignore these emotions?
I think just keeping busy, keeping as busy as humanly possible. When I was going through the biggest, most difficult time in my life, which was when I was realizing that my marriage wasn't going that well and I wanted to get out of it, I was with somebody for 24 years and it was a very big decision to decide not to be in that relationship anymore. And I would say for the last maybe year or 2 years of that relationship, I was running away. I was going out all the time. I was taking on every single bit of work just so I didn't have the space to be able to think. So yes, just keeping busy, going out, drinking, socializing, that kind of thing is probably the stuff that I use most.
Yeah, I can totally relate. Not right now, but quite a few years ago, I'd basically like woke up, but I was still in my old life. And so I was in this, I knew that everything kind of wasn't what I wanted, but I didn't know the new path yet. So I was in what I call the gray area. So whilst I was in that, this is when I was still modeling and I was kind of like living this party lifestyle, and all of my friends were somebody, you know, they were all the somebodies, and I kind of thought that's what I was doing. And then I realized this is not what I want to do. So in that time, I just took every modeling job, flew all over the place, went to every party anyone asked me to go to. I was always the last out. I never wanted to go home. After party, I was like, yeah. I was like, my nickname was Fun Time Frankie. I was just all over. And I was super fun in a lot of ways, but I was so miserable inside. Like when I stopped, it was like, and it's funny because I went to a wedding recently and I saw some of my old friends I used to party with, and they were like, you've changed. Where's Fun Time Frankie? And I was like, not seen her for a while, you know? And that was like a persona that I'd adopted to hide from who I really am.
And how did it feel to like to be confronted with that? Like, did you feel like you wanted to like, oh, I'm still here?
No.
Good.
No. You see, that was quite a long time. It feels like a million lifetimes ago, but it was probably less than a decade ago. And since then, I went all the way the other way, you know, barefoot hippie, completely sober, vegan, celibate, all the things. And then gradually, well, the first time actually was at Burning Man. And I went to Burning Man and the people I'd gone with were normally very sober and all the things. And then we got to Burning Man and they were like, let's do all the things. And I was like, huh, I'm not that person anymore. And I had this massive kind of personality crisis on the playa at this huge festival. And then I was like, well, I am at Burning Man and I don't have to do it all the time. And so I had a few drinks and I did a few things and I just did all the things. And it was so interesting because at that point in my life, I was in love with a man for the first time. Like, it was my first full-on deep love relationship. I was in love. I'd found self-love and in a very different space to when I used to go out kind of empty shell. And I was, yeah, it was amazing. It was the most expansive, incredible night. And I got this download on the night that whatever you do consciously is all medicine. Because previously it hadn't really been. Mm. Yeah. So I was like, whatever you do consciously in this way with the people and from a love frequency is so expansive. And it was. So yeah, I kind of like dabbled back and forth. And then at the moment, because I recently had COVID and I had it really bad as well. And I also had some major mental health things come up, like 9 days of completely having panic attacks and paranoia, and it was so scary. So since I've come back from that, I've just been on this 150% self-care mission. Yeah. And it's been so fun. All the green juices and all the exercise, and I just feel so radiant. And at the moment I do not want any chemicals, I don't want anything in my space. So when I saw these people at the wedding, there was a little part of me that was like, I kind of did, it wasn't like I just breezed it. I did have a bit of like, oh, I have really changed and they were my people. And it is a shame that I don't want to do that, but I just don't. So yeah, to answer your question in a long roundabout way there, it did make me feel like a bit like a death, like something had died. But I was okay with that.
But I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there. It's all about whether you want to or not. You know, you've now come to a place where you're not like just partying because you're trying to run away from something. It's more about what you need at that time. And because you're more in tune with yourself now, you know what you need now. And there's no sort of set, really rigid rules about who you are and what you're going to be. You just know whether you're in a place where you know what you need. That's it.
Yeah, you nailed it. There's no rules. And I think this is a big thing with self-love, because when I did it all before, it was like, no drinking, I'm celibate, I labelled myself vegan, I labelled myself all these things. Yeah. And then I was like, I kind of want to do, but then I'll break, you know, it's an identity crisis. Yeah, so it's just not labelling it and letting your heart lead you, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I feel like if the rules are too rigid, then the only thing you're going to do is feel like shit for, you know, breaking them or going outside of these really rigid rules, which don't necessarily help in that whole personal growth, you know. Yeah. I saw the Burning Man pictures, by the way. Fucking hot. You looked amazing.
Oh, thank you.
I would love to go. It sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have that desire, I highly, highly recommend it. It is. I was talking to a friend the other day who goes with me, and he was like, what is it that just makes it so good? And we kind of jammed on it for a while.
Ooh,
and we came to this kind of realization that because it's such a pilgrimage, especially from England, but even if you're in America, just getting everything ready and taking absolutely everything and thinking everything through, and just there's so much preparation and so much goes into it. And when you're there, it's not easy. It's nothing's really easy. It's quite a challenge every day. And because it's such a pilgrimage, you've got to be a certain type of person to have the desire to go in the first place. It's quite unknown, like the first time you go. It's also like you've got to have kind of had some contacts and figured things out. And if you get to that point where you've figured it out, you've done the pilgrimage and you're there, then I honestly believe that you are in the top, 5% of creative, up for it, going for it, bonkers people that it lives on this planet, and they all congregate together. And the vibe of that is so expansive. That's what I came to.
That does sound good. Yeah, I love that.
So I know we've just completely jumped into this, just completely started jamming, and I'm sure we could jam out for ages. But do you want to just tell everybody a little bit about your life? Like, how have you come to be the Natalie Lee that you are today?
Oh, gosh, good question. Where do I start? I'll start from now. I'm 41 years old. I've got two children, two girls, 8 and 12. I am recently divorced. I started a blog in 2012 when I was on maternity leave from being a midwife. I started up Sell Me Sunday, and it has grown into an Instagram feed more now. And yeah, so I've been doing that for nearly 10 years. Started off being mainly fashion, and now it evolves with whatever's going on in my life. I haven't got these really strict, rigid sort of rules on what I post and stuff. It's just about what I find interesting. If I was too all one way, I would lose interest. I need to be able to talk about what's going on in my life at that time. So I've had been going through a lot recently with the divorce and with the recent diagnosis that I mentioned, ADHD, and just going really deep. I'm a very kind of deep person anyway. I don't like surface level chat. I like analysing myself. I studied psychology at uni. I'm very into that whole sort of mind kind of space and figuring people out. I love to figure people out. I love to ask people questions and get to know them. But like, that often puts people off because I ask quite intrusive questions sometimes because I'm interested in them. I want to get to know them, but I can go a bit too deep too quickly sometimes, and that kind of puts people off. But hey, oh well. And what else? I've given you quite a lot there already.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I love that about you, by the way. I love that you're so deep, and I love that you ask these questions. And yeah, I feel very aligned with that. I find people just so fascinating. Yeah. And I think what you just said then, that your kind of offering or your blog or whatever you want to call it, is it's constantly evolving and it's just what you're interested in. That is just the thing. Like, that's what makes or breaks people, I think. You know, when you can see that when I read your things and I can see that something's just so, you just really want to share something so much, and it comes out in such a fun way, and it's not too polished, and it's just like, this is it. It's so raw. I just love that. That's what I find so interesting. And we're so lucky that we get to live in a world right now that's, you know, we don't have to have like slideshows with our logo on. And
yeah, you know, exactly. I think perfectionism is not for me. And I think I also have got to a space where I'm really quite open and honest about my failings and my not always getting it right. And sometimes I will do a post saying, actually, my view has changed on that topic, and now I think this, and actually, I don't think I was right in that, in what I said there. So I feel much more accepting of being able to admit when I'm wrong. I think my ego is not as big as it possibly was, and I'm allowed to make mistakes. I'm allowed to say sorry, and even though that's done on a very public platform, we're all human and we all do it. And I think sometimes when you have got this online persona, you know, you feel like you've got to be right all the time, do everything right all the time. It's got to be really polished. It's got to be perfect. Well, first of all, I'm dyslexic as well. And second of all, it's just not me, because if everything was all scheduled and polished and perfect, it wouldn't reflect my character. And then I wouldn't be interested in doing it. So I've just got to do it for how it works for me.
Oh, my whole internal organs feel like they're just going like, ah, thank goddess for this woman. Like, honestly, I grew up so kind of trying to make everything perfect until, you know, all this shift happened and the self-love came in. And same as you, feel like a complete imperfectionist. I'm just like, bish bash bosh, that'll do. And it's like so music to my soul to hear you say that, and just like, yeah, I'm this and I mess up and then I just say sorry and I change. When you contradict yourself, and even like from one post to another, I might contradict myself, and then I'm like, oh shit, I'm contradicting. But that, all the best people contradict themselves.
Yeah. Also, one of the things I've learned is it's not binary. You can be happy and sad at the same time, you know. Sometimes it's so polarizing being on social media. You know, you have this view and then it means that you can't have that view. Well, we're human, and, you know, we can be depressed, but we can be dancing on a table the next minute. You know, it's so... Yeah, I just like to reflect the color a bit more, because we're all very colorful people. It's never black and white, and that's difficult to get across sometimes. But I'm striving. I'm, you know, continuing to do it.
You really are doing that. You really are. And you give so much permission, and I think that's why I've really enjoyed reading. I've not just read the post since I've been following you. I've also read your backdated posts. I'm becoming a fan. So yeah, I'm becoming a girl fan. I really love that. I just love it. It's just so much permission to, oh, and I love what you wrote about phone boundaries. So I now have that on my phone. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, that's good. When was that? Because that definitely doesn't hang around all the time with me.
Well, here's your tennis ball batting back.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You wrote a post about setting some boundaries for yourself during lockdown, I think, on the phone, going to settings and putting it on like 10 p.m. apps go off. So I've been doing that.
That's so funny. I've recently just gone back to doing that because, yeah, and it's really helpful, isn't it? Did you find it good?
It's really, really helpful. And it's also like makes me, because as soon as it gets to 10 p.m., everything goes off and I'm like, oh, damn it. I was going to do this. I was going to write a post. I was going to text someone back. And then I'm like, oh, no, I can't now. Well, I can if I want, but I'm not going to, because I choose spaciousness. I choose restful sleep. I choose not having all the blue light in my eyes. And these things, like, it makes me have to kind of plan a little bit better, which is not really my strong point, to be honest. But I write a little list, and then when it gets to 9 o'clock, they all come back on and I'm like, oh, now I'm going to do those things. And I've looked after myself. So,
yeah. And that's the thing. I found that if I do have the boundaries in place, you know, everything else tends to fit a bit better. Like, I get more sleep. I, you know, And it's not just about getting to sleep. That's that looking at the screen and stuff. Sometimes you're fine getting to sleep, but then you have a really disturbed sleep in the middle of the night because of the, I don't know, but the rays or whatever affects you. I can't remember what, but I don't know. It's all about the willpower. It's all about not completely cutting something off. Because I always think, like, if I have ever, you know, said to myself, you're not going to do that, then that's all I want to do. Yeah. That's all I want to do. But if I just make it just a couple of steps a little bit more difficult to do, because I know my life is going to be much more enriched by not doing it, then I tend to thrive better than just, you know, going, that's it, no. But yeah, because so the fact that I still know that I can use it if I want to use it, but it's just a few steps more, I think really helps me.
Yeah, and this is kind of the same energy as not labeling ourselves as sober, vegan, whatever. Exactly. I mean, I'm none of those things, but when I was like, but I really want a steak. And then now I'm like, I can have a steak if I want, but do I choose that? Is that what not just do I choose it, but when I ask my body, what does my body say? And my body's like, nah, you can have it if you want, but nah, it's going to be hard work.
Exactly. And that's about being more in tune with yourself, isn't it? So when you're not running away from yourself and you're not going out all the time, when you're not working all the time, you know, taking minutes, even if you just take 5 or 10 minutes occasionally, a few times a week, to literally just sit and not have any distractions around you at all, it is so transformational. It's unbelievable. And I don't even call it meditation, because I think for me, the word meditation also feels too heavy, because I'm like, I'm not doing it right. Oh, I'm not breathing right. Oh, I shouldn't have any thoughts. Like, my mind should be clear, but it's not fucking clear. So, you know, all of this is going on in my head if I label it as meditation. So what I've just said to myself is just sit quietly. Mm-hmm. If you want to open your eyes, have your eyes open. If you want to close them, do whatever you want. But absolutely no distractions at all. And I just sit there. And I feel everything just feels, just makes a bit more sense. And I also have my best creative ideas when I sit and I'm quiet. And then I'm like, oh my God, I'm a fucking genius.
I got goose pimples then. I was just like, yeah.
Yes. Yes. It's great. So then, you know, I get out my notepad and I start scribbling down. But it's that getting in tune with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always easy. You have to be in a good place to do it. But it's so valuable. It's probably the best thing that I will ever recommend to anyone, just sitting quietly, even if that means you've got to lock yourself in your car for 5 minutes, because, you know, sometimes people with kids don't have that space, or locking yourself in the bathroom and just sitting. It's yeah. Amazing what comes.
Yeah. I love how, like, accessible that, I'm going to call it a practice, but, like, I love how just easily that is accessible to people. And it's like, because meditation can be a bit like twatty. It's a bit like, you know, it's a bit like, right, now I'm going to do this with my hands and I'm going to really like, and I'm going to go all India, like, kind of guru. But actually that is just like, I'm just doing this thing.
Exactly. And you're so right about it being accessible. You know, the whole kind of wellness industry anyway feels very white, middle class, and expensive, if we're really honest.
Mm-hmm.
But I find the best practices are the ones that don't cost anything, that are really simple, really basic, and anyone can do it. And you don't have to be, you know, on the top of a mountain in the Himalayas to be able to get there.
You don't have to be head to toe in Lululemon with your mala beads in in an ashram for that one. Exactly. Love it. Exactly. Love it. Love it. Yeah, and I want to acknowledge you because, you know, we were going to do this interview last week, and what I really love about you already, what I really love about you is that you were like, oh, I've messed up. I didn't realize, and I've, you know, and then I was like, well, I kind of messed up too. I didn't send the email, and it just like really connects me to people when they're just like, I'm a human, mess that up, do it another time. You know, it's just human. And it's so, yeah, it's just so, I don't even know what the word is, like relaxing, I guess.
Yeah. It is. I mess up all the time, especially with appointments and stuff. I'm really bad at that. But what I hate is when people make excuses. I really hate people lying to me or making excuses. And one of my biggest things is just be fucking honest with people. People will understand if you just say, I messed up, my bad, or I'm really not in a really good state of mind today. So do you mind if we postpone it to another time? Because otherwise, you're just going to get me moaning on the podcast and you don't want that. So, you know, it's important to vocalize struggles, to vocalize when you're not perfect. And let's all stop pretending we've all got it sussed, because even though you've written a whole book on self-love, I know that you will admit to not always feeling like you love yourself completely every single day, every single minute. We all feel like up and down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, people that write books about the thing, that's because they're trying to learn it themselves, isn't it? I'm trying to drill this into myself.
We are the best teachers. That's the thing. You write a book or you do a course about what you need ultimately. It's quite a selfish exercise. But the reason why it works so well is because you've tapped into what you need. So if you need it, then it's likely that there'll be lots of other people that need it too. So that tends to be why it works so well. If you've got it all sussed out, then you come across as patronizing and really arrogant. And people can't relate to that. They relate to people who are struggling with the exact thing that they're struggling with. And yeah, that's what makes people successful ultimately.
Totally. Yeah. So when I recorded my big course, my online course that, you know, is my big course, I had invited my videographer from England to Bali to come and film it, which was like a big edge, because I was like, oh my god, I'm bringing someone from England, I'm bringing my team over. It's only one person, but you know. And right, I think she was on the plane when I just found out that my then partner had cheated on me. So I was like, oh fuck, now I'm gonna have to fucking, like, I'm about to show up as my most influential self, you know, in this self-love course, and I'm actually, I just want to curl up in a ball and go through all the motions. And I was like, oh, should I put it off? But I can't really. But actually what I did was show up with like, I am using these things right now. Yeah. I am with you. Mm-hmm. And it just made the transmission so raw and real. You know, it was, and now when I know. Talk about self-love, that's what it was. It was just like I needed all of that right then, and it was healing me to actually do it at the time. So
wow, that's a real story. Did you actually speak about it?
I did.
Wow, that's incredible.
Because I was just like, what I'm not good at pretending everything's great. I've spent most of my life doing that, but since everything shifted, it's just, it's so much energy to do that. I just don't want to. It doesn't resonate with me. So all I actually can do is show up in this way, and that's what I've got right now. And we'll, if it doesn't work out, whatever, you know. But
it did. Wait a minute. So I've just clicked. Are you in Bali?
I'm actually not right now. I'm in England, but in a few weeks I will be back in Bali. Yeah.
So you live there?
Yeah.
Oh, amazing! I have been to Bali. When I was younger, I went traveling there. I loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it.
Wow. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So the last thing that I would love to ask you about, because I know you talk a lot about body image and body acceptance, and what's been your journey or what's been like your main insights with this?
I think one of the most sort of revelatory things for me was just to accept that my body changes. When I look back at photos, I'm like this, I'm up and down. I didn't even realize how up and down I was. So one of the things is just to, and I've never, you know, for quite a long time since I've been talking about accepting body acceptance and stuff, I've never like gone on diets or anything, but yet I still fluctuate. Like our bodies naturally fluctuate depending on what's going on in our lives. And I think, especially for someone like me, if there's a lot going on in my life, I can be very narrow focused, and then I'm all into that, and then I, you know, forget that I actually need to eat, and I forget certain stuff because I'm so focused on other stuff. So it just changes. My body changes shape and size all the time, and it's about learning to accept those fluctuations and being okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I am never going to be the kind of person who will stay a certain size. And I'm okay with that. I go up and down. I mean, lots of other people like to comment on people's changing size, especially. And I have learned to really be very vocal about my boundaries there. Whether I've put on weight or whether I have lost weight, I don't want you commenting on what my body looks like. My body has nothing to do with you and your opinions, and shouldn't be anywhere near coming out of your mouth, because it doesn't bother me. I'm okay with it. I don't want people to comment on that all the time. And it's the same with my girls. You know, I was just at a family function at the weekend. My dad is so fucking bad at commenting on people's weight. It's the first thing he says to anyone, and especially women, probably only women. And I had to really tell him off. It's none of your business, Dad. It really is none of your business whether my daughter has got skinny legs, or whether you think she's lost too much weight, or you think she needs to go on a diet. That is not yours. So please, let's stop commenting on that.
I don't know
what else, where else to say. I think it's just about that kind of acceptance, and just not trying to worry about weight. I'm definitely not weighing myself, and I'm just making sure that I role model that to my girls is incredibly important to me, because through so many different channels they're getting messages all the time that they have to live up to a certain standard, and they're not beautiful if they don't look like this. And you know, I'm trying to constantly fight those fires all the time. Even at school, you know, they're saying that there's this health initiative where they want to weigh and measure children. And you have to actually opt out in order for that to not happen to your child. Well, I opt out all the time there's not an emphasis on restriction or what my children should eat. I want it to come naturally to them. I want them to just go with what feels good. There's a lot to fight against, and I don't always get it right. I'm not in a place of complete and utter acceptance. I still will obsess about certain areas that I'm not liking because I'm a fucking product of this society as well. The diet industry is a multi-billion pound industry that we have all grown up with. You know, I was born in the 1980, and I was bombarded with diets, and my mom was on every single kind of diet you can ever possibly think of. It was a new diet each week, and of course they weren't going to bloody work because they're designed not to work. You know, that's how they make their money. And I haven't got it all sussed. I haven't come to a complete place of body acceptance, but I would say that 70-80% of the time I'm really good. And what I've noticed is one of the times that I really couldn't give a fuck about how my body looks is when I'm going through really difficult times. Like, I'm just like, why would I be focusing on something so irrelevant and so insignificant, something somebody else has put onto me when I'm going through that struggle? Because that thing is a lot more important than whether I need to lose a stone or not. And, you know, it's still a battle every single day. Every single day I have to remind myself that I don't need to look a certain way. But, oh my God, it's a hell of a lot better than it was.
Yeah. I think you really nailed it in that your very opening sentence. I think you said, you know, I just accepted that my body changes. Yeah. Like, if we'd have grown up with that kind of acceptance, which look, your children are going to do, which is such a beautiful gift. Yes. Just instill that out into all children right now. You know, that alone is so healthy to know. And I didn't really have that. Same as you, my mum was in that era. No, absolutely not. I've written this in my book and I'm always like, oh no, I don't mean like, mum, you were doing something wrong. Like everyone's mums were doing that.
Yeah.
Weight Watchers.
They were a product of what they were taught. You know, this is society that has taught them that they weren't good enough. So they So it's not their fault at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's in with this like patriarchy thing as well, isn't it? It's all like how men think women's bodies should be, and we've taken that on, and it's like,
absolutely. But then if we weren't so worried about what we were eating, what we looked like, how much we weigh, then think about all the space we'd have to actually do the important things, like change legislation, like be in, you know, politics and worried about the law and work. We're too powerful. We are too powerful. So this is it's a great form of control. It's a great form of control. If they don't make us think that we're not good enough and that we've got to constantly change ourselves, then there's too much space to think about the really important shit, and they don't want that.
Absolutely. That is so powerful. I'm so glad you said that. Like, right, coming up to the end of the podcast, it's like, wham, there it is. And it's so true. You know, I spent most of my life trying to be in a thinner body. It was basically my career, you know, like I spent my life, that was what I was trying to do. I spent my energy on that. And when I didn't, and I haven't ever since, now I've created this business, now I've created this book, this podcast, like all this creation is in that space.
Exactly. Look how powerful you are now because you've released such a big, massive portion of your thinking time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to anyone listening, if you're being consumed by, you know, something you don't want to be consumed by this system, by this like matrix, this construct, you know, what is it that you would rather replace that with? Or maybe it's just a case, what would you say? It's a case of letting it go and letting the new things come in.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you don't even know what's going to come in until you release what you need to release, you know. But it is really exciting and really magical if you allow yourself to release that mental torture.
Yeah, so powerful. Well, Natalie Lee, Style Me Sunday, you have been such an incredible podcast guest. I'm so feel so honored to have you here. And I'm so happy Neon Rocks connected us because you've just been such a joy and so wise in your, just so humbly wise. So I love that. Thank you so, so much for your time and your energy and your lessons and learnings. And so where can people find you? What have you got going on that they can join?
I've got a manifesting course that is coming out. It starts in January, but the tickets are available now up until the end of January. And that course has been great. I'm right in the middle of one at the moment, and you know, I do it alongside everyone else. We have these Zoom meetings where everyone gets to talk about their life and what makes them happy and what's holding them back. And it's just a really wonderful process. It's not as wanky as just manifesting sounds. There's a lot of like introspection. There's a lot of, you know, tools that we teach you in how to sort of get the life that you want. That's out. But other than that, I've got lots of things on the boil at the moment, but there's still a little bit more to do before I can talk about them. But you can come and find me at Style Me Sunday, mainly on Instagram now, and I would love to see you.
And you can see Natalie dancing like an absolute queen to loads of cool music. Is that in London where you go to that?
Yeah, you should come.
Yes. Love that.
Yeah, I don't know whereabouts you are at the moment, but you should definitely come. You would love it. It's the best. And it's my best friend who runs the classes. We've also collaborated on events together, and hopefully we'll be bringing those events back soon. But it's so freeing, and like when you dance, it for me that's a form of meditation because I'm not able to think about anything else because I'm focusing so hard on remembering the steps, and she choreographs brilliantly. That it's a real like pleasure to come out of my everyday life and just go into that mode for an hour. It's great.
It's like a pattern interrupt kind of thing.
Fabulous.
Is there anything else you want to throw in the mix before we finish?
No, I just want to say that was a wonderful conversation. Thank you for like diving deep with me and swimming with the sharks. I loved it. And I can't wait to read your book. I'm so excited. Sure. I've heard loads of good things. I've like had a little look at the reviews and stuff, and it just looks amazing. So I'm very excited. Thank you so much.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
If you've loved this podcast, if you have taken anything away, then do everybody a favor and please share it. Leave a 5-star review. This will help us to get noticed, to get seen, and for more of the right people to hear it.